Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to episode 56 of A Wild Podcast Has Appeared, the official Pokemon podcast of comicbook.com. I am one of your hosts, Jim Viscardi, and I am joined by Christian Hoffer and Megan Peters.
Hello.
Hey. How's it going?
Christian, you got to remember that not everyone watches the video.
That's why I pointed.
But when I say, hey, and then like there's an awkward pause and you go, hey, that is not a good podcast.
If you're not watching this, though, I really want to encourage you to at least try, because I put in a lot of effort to doing my peace signs and hand notations. I'm really extravagant with the way I talk with my hands, and you're really missing out on it if you're not watching. But if you're on the go, I understand.
I'm taking advantage of the fact that most people aren't watching by drinking my second cup of cold brew coffee for the day. So nice. That's how I'm That should just be my introduction. It's just me pounding down coffee at the start of the show every time.
Yes.
We've got so much to talk about this week that I am excited. There we got a new Pokemon trailer / commercial / teaser. I don't know what it is, but it was a video, and we got a whole bunch more information about the Sword and Shield DLC. And there's just a bunch of news. So if you're new to the show, welcome. Let me give you a quick breakdown on how the show goes, so that way you are not, it's kind of like a map that you can follow along with us in a way. The first section is a news section. Let me go through real quick just so the Pokemon news of the week that we'll kind of get in, get out kind of thing, and then we take a break. Then we do our deep dive, which obviously today is going to be about the Sword and Shield DLC info that we learned, and then at the very end, Christian gives us Pokemon fact of the week that we have been thoroughly enjoying. We've been making our way through the Pokedex. If you were listening to last episode, the episode number of our show does not correlate to the Pokemon fact of the week. I just want to make
yes, sure. Unfortunately, yes. I did pick
missed
it.
Missed opportunity, but we did maybe get a lot of great stuff in the earlier episodes that if you have not listened, there's a lot of crazy Pokemon facts there that, you know, when we get back to them, we'll have to try and find something new to talk about. But, I mean, those episodes are the reason why the Pokemon Fact of the Week is everyone's favorite. So, without further ado, let's jump into the news. In anime, on the anime front, Pokemon Journeys is coming back this weekend.
Yes.
Japanese TV.
Yes, it kind of took everyone by surprise. We got the confirmation that Pokemon Journeys has resumed production in Japan. The cast is recording, you know, the animators are back at work. So this week will mark the debut of the first new Pokemon episode we've gotten in about 2 months or so, which is a very long break. I don't believe it's the longest break the anime has ever taken, but it's up there.
Yeah, I was about to say.
It's high up there if it hasn't just barely beaten it yet. Because we had a break back in the like mid-2000s. But anyways, it's coming back. The episode will pick up with kind of Go and Ash on like a weird safari trip. And so they're going to be running into a bunch of, you know, Generation 1 Pokemon, Scyther, Oddish, you know, a bunch of monsters that you would expect to see in safari zones during that generation. And things kind of get a little weird when a big storm comes into the safari, and all of a sudden Ash and Go have to kind of figure out everything that they're going to do to prepare for the night, especially when some Pokemon from higher generations appear and they become very confused. So it looks like we're back on track for the anime. We should also mention that now that June is here, soon Pokemon Journeys will be coming to Netflix. That will be coming up before we know it. So it's a good month to kind of plug back into the Pokemon anime. Gotta love Ash and Pikachu.
For sure. We do. We do love Ash and Pikachu.
I mean,
but not Go.
Well, that's mainly a you issue.
Look,
that's not
no,
that's
I,
a
I,
Ash
look,
issue.
We have to let our audience experience Go when Journeys comes to Netflix. Okay. If they've been listening to the show long enough, they know we clearly have our opinions, but I am excited for folks to start learning on their own about the awfulness that is Go.
All right. There we go.
Whatever. Anyways, the anime is coming back. It's soon going to be available on US Netflix. We're getting back into action. And yeah, I'm very excited to see what happens. We still don't have any news on Pokemon Coco, the movie that was meant to come out in July, but isn't now. So yeah, we'll find out.
Moving along to the Pokemon Go front, the Throwback Challenge special research started yesterday. By the time you're listening to this, started Wednesday, June 3rd. And so you have the opportunity to get some Galarian Pokemon finally in Pokemon Go.
Yep. Most of these Pokemon will be available from 7 kilometer eggs. If you have the Pokemon, if you completed all the special research tasks, like me, you will also be able to get them in certain encounters. However, from what I've read, I haven't had the chance to dive in too closely into the special research yet. I know that other time zones have already gotten it, but from what I hear, the special research is actually like pretty intense.
Oh, good.
So, that'll be fun. I like when special research can't be completed in the course of an afternoon. Like, I'm still working on the Genesect special research. And also other, Jirachi. I'm also still working on Jirachi.
Oh,
I need to catch a freaking Aerodactyl. They made that, like, the last thing. And so I'm just waiting for, like, the fossil event or something to come back.
I remember when Aerodactyls were, like, everywhere.
Yeah, like, during the fossil event.
Well, no, it was, wasn't Aerodactyl a day one Pokemon Go Pokemon?
I mean, it was, but it was a pretty rare one.
Oh, they were. I just remember seeing them a bunch. Like, I still have them in my. If I trade you one, does that count?
No, it doesn't.
No, you have to like hatch it.
I've hatched two Aerodactyls since obtaining the Jirachi research.
I remember like that day one, day two, when we were all in the office and walking around their building complex for, during our lunch breaks. It was nothing but Venonats and Aerodactyls for some reason.
Meanwhile. On day one, day two, while you guys were walking around playing the game, I was chained to my desk writing article after
article. Also playing the game.
I start off at like such a disadvantage. Like after like night one, I didn't like really play Pokemon Go except at like 1 a.m. when I finally wrapped up playing the game. Or writing articles about the game. Oh, it was freaking intense. Those were the good old days.
Those are the glory days.
Yeah. Time.
You know what Galarian Pokemon we can get?
So it's the Galarian forms of Stunfisk, which that one does appear in the wild. The Galarian versions of Zigzagoon, Meowth, and there's one other one, and I'm totally blanking on it. Because I am tired as I have a newborn. But give me 1 second. I can pull it up.
I still don't understand the whole Stunfisk thing. Like, it's, I don't.
Mm. Other than it's amazing. Galarian, Darmanitan, and it's Daramuga. That's what it's called.
Yeah.
So those can, cool. Most of those can be hatched from eggs. If you have the encounter, if you have the special research, not purchase the special research because you can do that as well. But earned it, you will get guaranteed encounters with most of those Pokemon.
I'm mainly just waiting for Ponyta to show up. I mean, that's the true issue that we're at right now.
I need
an exact countdown to Galarian.
I had a regular Rapidash show up in the wild a couple days ago, and I have never seen that before. And I was like, look at that.
It always
look at you trying to represent when you're clearly underclass. Like,
there's a few Pokemon that always surprise me when they pop up in Pokemon Go. Like randomly a Chansey showed up while I was walking around the neighborhood last week, and it was just like, the hell? where did you come, friend? what special event did you get lost from?
Yeah. It's always so weird too, just like what, because I know nests move and spawn rates and all that, stuff change from time to time, but for whatever reason, my neighborhood for years now has just been Pinsir Central. Nothing but Pinsir. Huh. I know. It's crazy. So I'm like, now I've got a whole bunch of roided out Pinsirs, but
I mean, not bad. Haven't had anything in this house that I've moved into. There is nothing.
There used to be a spawn point at my house, and they moved it 10 feet to the north. And that was enough to cause, now in order for me to catch any Pokemon, I have to go outside and walk to my neighbor's front yard.
Nice.
Come real friendly with that neighbor, I'm assuming.
We actually are. They play Pokemon Go as well. So
the spawn point moved from your front yard to their front yard.
Yeah, but the difference is that I am an adult. And they are children who play Pokemon Go there.
All right.
Great.
But we also have a few more events coming up this month, right?
Yeah. They announced a ton of events for June. Everything from your standard, the bug out event is coming back. I am horrifically unprepared. I'm sorry, guys. The bug out event is coming back. They're doing a ton of different spotlight raids and spotlight hours. Let's see what else we've got. Trapinch is going to be the breakthrough research Pokemon of the month. Let's see what else. You get a chance to gain Pokemon like Patrat, Numel, Clefairy, and Krikatot. The Solstice event is coming back, which traditionally has featured a switch in Solrock and Lunatone. They switch spots because those are region exclusive Pokemon. Bunch of good month coming up here in June, and of course then there's the Galarian throwback challenge event, which you'll see a lot more Unova Pokemon this week, and also those Galarian Pokemon that we talked about.
Sweet.
I hate the bug out. I hate it. I hate it. I don't like bug Pokemons. I think I really am like Misty IRL. I think I imprinted on her so deeply as a kid watching the anime. Love Vaporeon, and I hate bug Pokemon. That's just me. So we know one thing that I will be unwillingly participating in.
So it feels like just the other week we were kind of railing against the Pokemon company about the trading card game, about how, it's not the easiest to, stream or play online or, potentially, jump into and whatnot. And then all of a sudden they drop a new game called Battle Academy, which is a board game designed to teach you how to play the trading card game.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So this
is pretty cool.
Yeah, this is pretty clearly. So one of the things, with the collapse of Toys R Us, retailers like Walmart and Target are now the major toy distributors here in the United States. And one of the areas that is quickly growing for them are board games. If you ever go back into the toy section of Target, which I'm there on a pretty frequent basis, I have a 5-year-old, so I'm allowed to be back there. There is a very large space that is dedicated to board games. And these are not just like Monopoly or, you know, Clue. There is, a lot of popular, we call them like gateway games, stuff like Villainous, Azul. I've seen things like Pandemic in there. And so Pokemon Battle Academy, because the Pokemon cards can be somewhat like hard to find in Target. I mean, they have a dedicated section right by the checkout lane. Sometimes you see them in a few other different places, but it depends on the Target. So this is the Pokemon Company's way of saying, when people ask, how do I learn how to play the Pokemon game? They point to Battle Academy. It can be found in every board game store and every like Target board game section. Will be very easy to find. And I think it's a really cool idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, like I definitely wish that something like this existed when I was trying to learn as a kid, especially because then, I mean, I got into it, but it was so early and I was playing with a lot of kids my age. So a lot of us didn't know what we were talking about because we like
had to remember just making up rules left and right.
Yeah. Like we were just making up like prize cards. We were just like, these are the holy cards that have special powers. Like we had no idea what any of it was about. It wasn't until finally like one of the kids' parents was like, I've had enough of this. And they like specially ordered an actual guidebook and like sat down and taught us like, y'all kids are dumb. So I'm glad that there's this, especially given like how far the TCG has come. There are a lot of different rules. There's a lot of different versions. I like this to kind of give you the basics and foundations in like a super cute way. Cause like the name Pokemon Battle Academy is just like super cute. I 900% want that to be a video game. Like, that sounds really cute to me. So I'm very excited. I'm definitely going to be getting this for, like, the kids in my family.
I used to play, when the card game first came out, we had no idea what the rules were. We basically, each person took six cards to be representative of your team. And you would shuffle them randomly, and you would put them out. You're like, you know, one at a time, and based on whatever you put out, you know, you basically went like, okay, we flipped a coin to see whoever goes first, and then you pick the attack that you wanted to do to go against that person. And if it was enough to wipe out their hit points, then they had to throw another Pokemon out. But
no, I mean, that's exactly what I did too.
I mean, I can't judge too harshly. You know, I learned how to play the Pokemon trading card game from Pokemon, the trading card game, the video game, which came out on the Game Boy.
Yeah, I didn't have
that's
that
how
yet.
I learned how to play both that and Yu-Gi-Oh!
Okay, that is how I learned how to play Yu-Gi-Oh! But I didn't have the Pokemon game because my brother would not give it to me. He was obsessed. He hogged it. So I, being 4 years younger than him, had to acquiesce to his demands and come up with my own version of the game.
I am still really upset that we have never gotten like an official like follow-up to that. Like they came out with a second Pokemon trading card game, the video game in Japan, which had all the Team Rocket cards. I would, and I've like said this like a dozen times, like on the show, give me a Pokemon trading card video game for either mobile or for the Switch. Like, you know, like digital card games.
That is not the whatever they use for their app, because that's awful.
Yeah, not online. But you know, give me like, you know, because like, let's face it, like digital card games are all the freaking rage right now.
Dude,
like,
the Magic the Gathering one is huge.
So, that thing prints money. Prints
so
money.
Good. And it would be so easy to do this on a phone. It would be amazing. Like Cardcaptor Sakura. Like, just keep all your cards on your phone.
Speaking of Cardcaptor Sakura, my child and I have been watching Cardcaptor Sakura because it just came out on Netflix.
Yeah.
Like, talk about like uplifting experience was when my child like put down his iPad last night to just watch like two episodes of Cardcaptor Sakura with me, and I just happened to get the first like collector's edition of the manga, and it came in like right before the show, and I was like opening it up, and my son's like, "Hey, that's that show that we were watching. It's a book too. Can we read it?" I'm like, "Yes, son. Yes, we can."
Oh,
man. Anime back in the 90s. I mean, Yu-Gi-Oh, Cardcaptor, Pokemon, bringing out them cards. Ah, such a great time.
That classic Yu-Gi-Oh was just so good. I loved that show so much.
I mean,
but anyway,
it wasn't actually. It didn't really get good until like the Battle City arc.
Yes,
like that like Millennium the Pegasus arc. One, they butchered. Four kids butchered it. Well, they freaking butchered it because you know, Yu-Gi-Oh! The manga had like an entire like series where it was just like Yu-Gi-Oh would play these random board games and basically send his opponents to hell. It was an entire it was legitimately the thing that he did. He's like some girl would be like, "Hey Joey, I'm going to catfish you," and then like Yu-Gi would be like, "No, you shall not catfish you, and also I'm sending you to hell after we play, you know, like cups the game." And it's like these like very just out there. So like, but that's how they like gradually introduced like Kaiba and Bakura and like all these characters, and then like the anime picks up straight into like the second major arc, which is all about the cards. And so they had to like do like, you know, all this like weirdo explanations and stuff, and it's just like, it doesn't, like, you, like, watch and it's like, oh, God, this is kind of, like, weird, because, like, Bakura in the manga is, like, one, like, the core, like, members of Yugi's posse, and, like, in the anime, he just, like, randomly shows up. He's like, "Hey, guys, I'm here."
Yeah,
like, but Kaiba's brother is, like, a recurring antagonist.
Well, yeah, welcome to the new Yu-Gi-Oh! Corner of, Yu-Gi-Oh! Corner of the Wild Pockets Disappear Pokemon Podcast.
I will just say this before we move on from you. Oh. Joey, forever in my heart. And that's it. That's it. That's all I got. I'm dead.
I like that, you know, he entered a tournament with no experience in order to get his sister eyes. Straight up new eyes. Not even like experimental surgery. Like, I don't know if they like changed that in the anime, but like in the manga it was like, yeah, she needs eyes, period. Here, but by the
Go
way,
would do the same thing in Pokemon Go with 900, and he has gone into battles like not knowing anything. Not the eyes part, but like it can.
And then he punishes his Pokemon. That's the difference between Joey and, you know,
Joey's a good guy. Go.
Not so much. Not so much. Anyways,
So before we move on from the trading card game, we also do want to make mention that a new set is coming out, Darkness Ablaze, which will feature everyone's favorite Charizard, Eternus as in his Gigantamax form, as
that's very cool,
Claw type Master Hand, and Galarian Slowbro.
Which we will talk more about here.
I wanted to talk about it so much.
But all right. Okay, I'm going to skip the last thing on our rundown because we do have to take our break. And then when we come back, Pokemon Sword and Shield DLC.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
So, we got a new trailer, which is, I guess, what we're calling it in the notes. And
it's 3 minutes long.
It is 3 minutes.
I mean, you can't call it a commercial. Commercials aren't 3 minutes long.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's fair. So there was a ton of new information in it, like so much that like I was kind of thinking just the other day, looking, you know, I was playing my Switch and I just saw Sword and Shield, the Sword and Shield icon in there, and be like,
I haven't played you in a while. And then this came out, and I'm like, oh man, I can't wait to get back into the game. I need to refresh all my stuff and get ready. So, it's available on the site if you want to go take a look at it, or you can go to the Pokemon Company's YouTube channel, wherever you want to go look at it. It is definitely worth it. It'll definitely get you hyped. One of the biggest things, obviously, that we talked about last week when we talked about some of the data mines that happened from home was, everyone guessed correctly, Slowbro, Galarian Slowbro, has a gun.
Yes, he does.
Okay, so, but was it just, sorry, I just have to say this really quick. Was it just me that when this was announced that the only thing I had stuck in my head for the rest of the day was Aerosmith's Janie's Got a Gun? Yes. Except it was just Slowbro's Got a Gun. Like, that's the only thing I had in my head. And I'm done now.
And I too thought that, but the only difference was when that was playing in my head, it was going in Slowbro's voice the entire time.
Wow, I truly missed out.
Instead of Gene Simmons, or not Gene Simmons, I can't. Steven Tyler. I cannot keep the old rock men apart. They all look alike.
Gene Simmons has a distinctive look.
Yes, he looks
also,
like Opsa.
It's also because he is part of Pokemon lore.
That's like, you know, like I knew instantly it wasn't Gene Simmons. Like, no, that's the Pokemon. Which one of the British rock dudes is it? It's like, I couldn't even like think of the names. Newborn Brain, you know, basically. But yeah, it was just like, Slowbro's got a gun. Instead of, it was awesome. Yeah, that was what was going through my delirious head yesterday. So the difference is that while Shellder clamps onto his tail normally, and this, it latches on to its hand and turns him, you know, causes an allergic reaction in his body, which turns him into a poison-type Pokemon. And occasionally when that allergic reaction, like, kicks into high gear, Slowbro just starts going and pistol-whipping anything that moves with his gun hand. He looks like Mega Man.
Mm-hmm.
And also, despite the fact that his name is literally Slowbro, he has incredibly quick reflexes, which is why he has a new ability called Quick Draw.
Which That's is just, amazing.
Everything about this Pokemon is amazing. It's literally...
I am obsessed.
He is definitely the thing that I am looking forward to the most in this, in the Isle of Armor.
I've been waiting for someone to do fan art, and it probably exists. So if it does exist, please let me know. But like, where it's basically like Iron Man and his Repulsor, but it's just Slowbro and his gun, just like doing this.
I just keep thinking of Mega Man. Yeah. Like it's literally Slowbro Mega Man. He even has like the, you know, it's like the same arm and everything.
I love how. His other hand is slightly dark purple on the end, and his feet are dark purple. And I don't know if this is a coincidence or not, but if anyone has dogs who may or may not have allergies, especially ones that may have like white fur around their paws, if they have an allergic reaction on their paws, their paws will get kind of stained. It'll look like a weird, like pinkish color. And it gives you the idea that, you know, or it lets you know that, you know, they're suffering from an allergies or whatever. It's the histamine that comes out. And so I saw that and I was like, oh, that seems pretty cool. It could be total coincidence, but that just happened to be because one of my dogs has allergies and I noticed those on his paws. And I was like, that's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
The official thing is Shellder's Bite sets off the spices within, you know, that Galarian Slowpoke is like inundated with, because apparently he's reached a saturation point from his love of Galarian berries, and that is what transforms him into a poison Pokemon.
Interesting.
It's like the entire Pokemon is just so bizarre and amazing.
So are Venusaur and Blastoise's Gigantamax forms cooler or worse than Charizard's?
Cooler, by far, both of them. Okay. Blastoise has literally become a battleship.
Yeah.
And I will also point out, for the first time ever, Blastoise shoots water out of its cannons.
Thank you. It took so long.
Like,
I remember literally that decades.
That was one of the big, I think we wrote a story about it, but that was one of the big things when we first learned about it. It was like, oh my gosh, is he going to continue to shoot water from his mouth, or are they finally going to come out of his cannons? And sure enough,
they did.
Coming out of his cannons.
Yeah, they both have pretty cool G-Max moves too, which, they're the persistent damage type moves that continue to do damage for multiple turns to any Pokemon that is not of the same type as them. So for Venusaur, it's a grass type, and for Blastoise, it's water type. So it's going to continue to deal like persistent damage over the course of turns. So if you encounter these Pokemon in max raid battles, you better bring like a water type Pokemon that knows like electric type moves or something like that.
Huh. Otherwise, you're going to get wrecked.
Yep.
That's true.
if I had to rank them, I'd probably go Blastoise, Charizard, Venusaur. I actually don't really like the Venusaur one.
The Venusaur, like, it just kind of looks like he's wearing a big floppy hat.
Yeah.
Because, like, basically the plume that's on his back is just, like, giving him, like, emo bangs.
Yeah.
This is, like, MySpace era Venusaur.
My thing with the Charizard one is, like, you know,
he looks too much like Endeavor for me to not think he's cool.
Oh, my God. Yes, he is the Endeavor of Pokemon.
Oh, good. Jim, so he beats his children and his
wife. Oh, jeez, Christian.
Hey, listen.
Talking about
the
look. Endeavor has a cool look.
Yes, and he's also a wife beater and a child beater.
He is an awful person.
Yikes. Spoilers from My Hero Academia.
Spoilers for season one.
That's still spoilers.
That is like, you know, a core, you know, thing that happened to one of the people, like, you know, main characters. And I guess it's technically season two.
All right, continue, Christian.
But, you know, yeah, like, I think that, honestly, Charizard's Gigantamax form looks really out of place compared to literally all the other Gigantamax Pokemon. They deliberately try to make him, like, look special, which gets into the entire Charizard gets too much love. Thing, but it's just like, it looks weird. It looks like out of place compared to like all of the other Pokemon. It's like he just doesn't look like the other Gigantamax Pokemon. That's basically my issue with it.
Jim has a very confused look on his face.
Have you seen the other Gigantamax Pokemon?
Yeah, like do any of them like have their entire like bodies that glow? Like, you know, he looks different. He looks radically different.
Alcremie turns into a tower of cake.
That's fine.
I feel like this is a subject that we will have to agree to disagree on.
That feels very much like, you know, what Alcremie
would... Have you seen Kinglers?
Yes, he looks like a larger Kingler.
No, no, he doesn't.
Yes, he does. He just has, like, foam. He's got, like, a couple of extra joints. He looks like a particularly, like, you know, like, yummy-looking Kingler. You're right, Jim. You got me.
No. What?
Like that definitely looks like a Kingler that could, like, you know, belongs in a buffet.
Wow.
Like, hey, all you can eat Kingler buffet.
Crazy.
Like, you know, like Charizard looks like freaking Super Saiyan Charizard. And it's like, you know, that's what it looks like. Like, none of the other Pokemon, like, are literally like, I am Flame Eternal. Like, show me my Charmander so that I can punch it.
Wow. This is getting very dark.
Listen, I'm the one. I'm not the one who compared to Endeavor. If we're going to compare Charizard to Endeavor, I'm like, going to send over all of its character traits.
I mean, what about Orbeetle?
It looks like UFO. That's awesome. But does it look like Super Saiyan Orbeetle? No, it looks like freaking
it
UFO.
It could be.
What
no,
does Super
that's
Saiyan
the difference.
Orbeetle
like
look
all
like?
Of the other
Butterfree
ones,
turns
the...
into Mothra.
Literally.
Again, awesome.
Literally.
So listen, here's the thing. You guys are like, oh yeah, look at how radically different, you know, this Pokemon has turned into. And then meanwhile, Charizard's like, my power level is 9,000. Woo! It's lame. Like, all the other ones get an actual realistic transformation. Meanwhile,
Charizard
apparently
gets fire wings.
They can't mess with the base Charizard form because that's where they get their money from.
I'm just pointing out. You guys are literally making my point for me.
I don't think so.
Yeah, no. all these other ones have these real aesthetic differences.
Not
that
Lepris.
Actually look cool.
Lepris is the most boring of them all.
How dare you?
He turns into a cruise ship. Like, congratulations, Megan has officially taken my side.
Thank you.
You've gone too far, and now Megan agrees with me.
Corviknight is just a bigger Corviknight.
Yeah, Corviknight is lame. Listen, they're not all winners.
Wow.
Even Colossal is just like, a bigger.
Colossal is a freaking mountain. He turns into a goddamn mountain. He's like, literally, like, you know, come. Within my belly, the One Ring shall be forged.
Yeah. Basically, yeah.
Meanwhile, apparently Charizard is, you know, flying around, feeling really upset that he is the number two Pokemon, and that, you know, he'll never stack up to All Might. And so, therefore, all he does is he probably finds every Ditto that he can to breed until he can produce the perfect Charmander with the perfect IV stats that will one day surpass All Might.
Wow. This is becoming a very uncomfortable discussion now.
Listen, if you're gonna turn this into Pokemon / MHA, like I live and breathe freaking My Hero Academia. I can do this all goddamn day.
Well, it's good to know that you already have the seeds planted for a crossover fic between the two series.
There you go. All right, let's keep moving on. Before we get to the legendary birds, I do want to mention, only because this was a topic of conversation and in one of our reviews for the show, which if you leave us a 5-star review on iTunes and we read it on the air, you get a free comic book back on t-shirt.
Post-pandemic, though.
Wow!
The trailer revealed Skarmory is confirmed for the game.
Yeah, Skarmory. Yes.
I did not know that.
That's literally, I think, like the one new Pokemon that we confirmed. Like, I it's really hard to keep track of what Pokemon we did know about and what we didn't know about. But the one new one that was definitively confirmed is Skarmory.
I must have fallen asleep during some of the other ones because I don't remember Kangaskhan or Poliwhirl.
I think Kangaskhan was new too. I think we knew about the Poliwhirl family. But Kangaskhan is, I'm like 75% certain is new. Like the problem is
we would have gotten Lycanroc and all that. So like,
yeah, the problem is that they do all of these like, you know, really like hard hitting quick, like boom, 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 you know, like flashes of all these Pokemon. And it's just really hard to keep track unless they do like a spot, like what they did with Kangaskhan or Skarmory.
Yeah.
And also we are all looking out for Skarmory now because we have been, you know, that has entered the Pokemon podcast the conversation now multiple times.
So congratulations, Skarmory fans.
You got confirmed.
You got your weird looking bird in the game.
Can we though just take a moment to pour one out for Impidimp, because he still was never like officially announced in any of the stuff. I mean, he's in the game and like we know it, but like none of the trailers are ever like Impidimp's here. He was just like showed up.
That's true. All right, so legendary birds now have new types, and we got to see them a bit more in action, and they're pretty freaking cool. So
I am in love with these.
Really cool.
So Articuno is now psychic.
Yep, and he shoots lasers from his eyes to kill you.
Good. Zapdos is fighting.
And he will try to kick your head off.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And Moltres is now dark.
And he is basically Dobby, so he is probably Charizard's illegitimate son.
Also, can we talk about how Zapdos here just looks like a chocobo?
Yeah, yes!
He's just a chocobo. And like, I'm 900% here for it.
Yeah. It's like,
Articuno is my favorite bird, and like, he's now even more my favorite.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like, Articuno has always been my favorite bird, and he is even more now my favorite because he's Tuxedo Mask.
Yeah, he is. He literally is Tuxedo Mask. Like, all of the changes they made to these birds are infinitely positive. Like, normally when they do like these like swap changes, like they did for like the Alola region or anything like that, I was like, some of them I was okay with. These I am 900% on board with. They're so good.
Yeah, like I love the fact that they are balanced now. Because, you know, I mean, before they all were technically weak to each other because, you know, Articuno is ice type, which is, you know, strong against, you know, flying types. Electric is strong against flying types, and fire is strong against ice types. So there was a little bit of that kind of like balance, but now the three are a true trio. And I love it. Like, good on the Pokemon Company. Because fans have wanted that for a while. Yep. They have wanted the psychic fighting dark, like a true trio that represents that that cycle. And so now we finally have it. So
it'll be interesting to see how you get them. Because it makes it seem like they will come in seasons. Like, obviously the season will be fast-forwarded given the time frame of the game, but it makes it seem like that, you know, they also kind of migrate other places
at
different times.
Well, they did say that these are straight up migratory birds, which does seem to indicate. Now, mind you, outside of, you know, the Kanto region, these birds have been known to be like traveling legendaries. Where they randomly pop up, you know, from route to route and all that stuff. So that could be how it's reflected. But, you know, there's a lot. And we also saw, so there's this big tree that's in the Crown Tundra, which is probably going to have some lame name like the Crown Tree or something like that. And we saw in the new trailer that it is shown in different seasons.
Yeah.
Whereas before it was only shown in the winter in our previous one. So now we saw it kind of like in the fall maybe or something like that. So that's, you know, that seasonal cycle could somehow play into it. Yeah. The other thing is that we've got confirmation that the two legendary golems are in fact new legendary golems named keeping up with the terrible naming of these Pokemon, Regieleki is an electric type, and Regidraco is a dragon type.
So stupid. And I hate that they're the legendary golems. Rollin, who's our gaming person, I like how you made the point, because I hadn't even thought of it. Like, there's literally golem. Like,
Pokemon. He's like, no, we can't call them legendary golems. I'm like, that's what the fans call them. Like, I didn't come up with it. And he's like, there's literally a Pokemon named Golem. And then my response should have been, no, there's not. I've never seen one in my playthrough of Pokemon Red and Blue. Because that Pokemon doesn't exist in that game, unlike the other 149 of them.
What's the name of the one that looks like the dragon head?
Regidrago.
Yeah, Regidrago.
Yeah.
That one looks pretty cool. I have hated most of them. Oh, actually, no. I'm sorry. I have hated all of them.
It's because they're useless Pokemon. I mean, let's be clear. The difference is that these two actually seem to have, like, they have signature moves that actually seem really freaking effective. Regidraco turns in. Now, mind you, the story goes that Regigigas, the master of the legendary golems, attempted to create a golem out of dragon crystals, and all he could make was the head. And so then he locked it up in a temple because it was too powerful. And that is what Regidrago is. And its special move becomes more powerful. The higher HP it has, the more powerful it is. So this thing is literally a glass cannon of dragon power.
Good.
So people will, it'll probably be slow as heck, which means it'll be absolutely useless in competitive play. But you throw it in a trick room or something like that, and suddenly it's going to just like straight up murk, you know, opposing Pokemon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do we think because of this, we'll get like a Gigantamax Regigigas?
I don't know. I mean, that would be technically the second mythical Pokemon to have a Gigantamax form. The first being Melmetal, which technically has one. It's unreleased. Given the focus on it, because like legitimately, while the legendary birds seem like awesome, whatever's going on in the Crown Tundra seems to revolve around the golems. I don't know why. I mean, let's be frank. Of all the legendary Pokemon that exist, and there's like 50 of them, the lamest ones are the legendary golems. I mean, not only are they named after one of the lamest Pokemon ever, Golem, They also just suck. I mean, they are terrible Pokemon. They are a pain in the ass to get. Remember, to get Regice, like, you need to have, like, a Relicanth or something like that. Like, I can't even remember, because it was so stupid. You needed, like, a Wailmer and a Remoraid, and then you needed to, like, you know, go in, like, three circles. Another one, you need to know Morse code. I can't even remember how you got Regirock, but that sucked, too. These Pokemon were not meant to be gotten.
Yeah.
So, I am curious about the decision here. You know, to, like, say, no, we're going to do an entire damn storyline about it, and you're going to like it.
Mm-hmm. I guess we'll see.
Yeah. Maybe I will like it.
Who knows?
So we get introduced to a new character in this, the peony dude, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the dude with the construction cap. Yeah. Or I guess it's like spelunking gear.
Mm-hmm. So... because his name is Peony,
mm-hmm.
Are we thinking he may or may not be really related to Chairman Rose with their flower names?
I hope not. That'd be the worst.
No.
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
Jim,
oh,
stop
no.
It.
No.
Jim,
he,
stop.
They do mention that he is dedicated to his daughter. So, and they didn't introduce the daughter yet, but, you know, now I'm like curious how that's going to come up. Ah, that's like an actual possibility.
That's like a pretty good possibility. Like, you go splunking with him and he tries to get these new legendaries because he, like, Eternus failed.
Yeah.
And, like, it's this whole ordeal. And, like, you hear, and he's like, broke Rose out of prison.
Just casually, it's like, so why are we spelunking in here? It's like, oh, by the way, we're actually spelunking to the Galar prison. This is where we keep all of our political prisoners here. And just like, ah, no, right. Eject, abort, no. I can't wait for us to find out, Chairman Rose, like, the reason why he's like, listen, guys, there's going to be an energy crisis in 1,000 years, and we just can't have that. And it's going to be because, like, Peony's daughter is in the hospital, and one time the power flickered, and there was minorly inconvenience, and then Rose just went off straight off the deep end about everything. It's like, no, we have to come up with a backup power source. It's like, yes, they're called generators.
Well,
yes.
It's like, the only reason I bring it up is because when I first saw it, like, he has a very similar, it looks like a shaved hairstyle on the side, which is a common haircut in the game. So it's whatever. But then it was his facial hair that I'm like, oh no.
Like, I
guess that is now too that you're close. Saying it,
like, I wonder if the reveal will be, case. He like takes off his hat and suddenly an asymmetric bang falls.
Oh no.
That classic, like, anime reveal of, it's like, oh, that, you know, that person that you thought was a guy is actually a girl because he takes off his hat and suddenly it's all these, like, long locks of hair and their voice becomes, like, 2 octaves higher. We're going to get that, only, like, it's going to be like, actually, my name is Peony Rose. It's like, oh, man.
Amazing.
Oh, this is the worst.
This is literally my nightmare in Pokemon form.
Anyway, okay, so we gotta wrap this up in a little bit. I just want to make mention. So there are a bunch of new features that were hinted at or teased at, and even kind of announced. A new way to unlock Gigantamax form. So no longer, you know, if you want a Gigantamax Eevee, you didn't get, Pokemon Let's Go Eevee or whatever, or didn't catch it during the raids or during whatever events, there, it looks like they're introducing a mechanic to get that in the form of soup.
Yep, it's called Max Soup.
Upon
seeing it in the trailer,
how is it soup and not a curry when the curry is the biggest?
That's
because it's a different part. It's a different part of the Galar region. Clearly, they do soups instead of curry. I mean,
it's
a racial difference.
They're lazy. They just didn't want to come up with a new.
Well, actually, it looks like a hot pot too.
It does.
It straight up looks like a hot pot. I mean, I am curious now if because of this, Jim is going to be running to the side of the road. Back where he dumped all of his Pokemon that he got rid of.
Yeah.
When he got, like, the Gigantamax versions of them. To see if that, like, you know, all those Pokemon that he abandoned are still there. Because now there's a way. Like, you know, I've got a big laugh out of this. I was like, oh, this is, like, shockingly relevant to the Pokemon podcast. specifically saw as a complaint. And you know, I'm sure you could hear the small violin playing as the Max Soup feature was revealed, as Jim looks off into the past the camera and realizes all those Pokemon he got rid of, he could have kept.
They've been transferred. It's okay.
All those memories gone.
Jeez. And there's a few other things like tutor moves and Dynamics Raid Group, which we'll go into more, probably a bit more next week, if anything. But those are all definitely cool features that you can read about on the site or check out, you know, like in the trailer as well. But like I said, we're running low on time, so I make sure we get to the Pokemon Fact of the Week and then wrap this baby up. So Christian, why don't you hit us with this week's Pokemon?
So we all know that people eat Farfetch'd. We know this. This is a fact. It is well established. This Pokemon is nearly extinct due to overeating, except for in the Galar region, because they fight back. However, the entire existence of this Pokemon is, there is a saying in Japanese where it is saying a duck comes with green onions. So basically, it is like a saying like you get a little bit of unexpected and convenient luck. Like, you know, because you're hungry and suddenly a duck walks up to you and it's carrying the onions that you're going to cook them with. That is literally a saying in Japan, and that is where this Pokemon, the entire concept of this Pokemon is literally a Japanese phrase for having unexpected good luck. Also, and I really hope that one day the Pokemon company explores this, there are apparently multiple far-fetched leak fighting text like styles. Like, I really hope that we one day get to see, like, you know, like Farfetch'd only like fencing Farfetch'd, or Farfetch'd berserker Farfetch'd, or like Farfetch'd, like, you know, like two sword style Farfetch'd.
Three sword style.
Like, I really hope, like, I saw that. I was like, man, that is just money on the table right there. Money on the table. Like, I would gladly get, like, collect all the Farfetch'd as they run around with different, like, styles of fighting techniques. Like, give it to me, Pokemon Company. Give it to me. I promise not to eat them.
Hopefully the anime will get to it.
Nice. Yeah, because we could. Because they all look like, you know, freaking badasses. Then they're Farfetch'd.
Yep, especially in Galar.
Yep.
Especially in Galar.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, like I mentioned just a little bit earlier, if you leave us a review on iTunes, 5-star review, and we read it on the air, you get the chance to earn yourself a comicbook.com t-shirt that we will send out once the pandemic is all up and we're all allowed back in the office for me to get the t-shirts to drop off at the post office. Obviously, like, reading these reviews are some of the best things, some of the best parts for the three of us, some of our favorite parts of this show. We know a lot of you love the Pokemon Fact of the Week, but getting to interact with our community is has been a huge gift, I think, you know, for us on this show. And, you know, given everything that is currently going on, you know, in the world, and it's, you know, now more than ever, you know, we want to let everyone know how much we appreciate the support that they show this show. And, you know, especially for our listeners of color, you know, it's very easy for us to say, you know, Black Lives Matter to all of us here on the show. And it is not, you know, there's a lot going on. And, you know, and everyone's voice deserves to be heard. And again, like, it's even one of those things, well, even on our own show, we'll read the bad reviews. That's fine. but I think, you know, and you guys can jump in and chime in if you guys want. But, you know, the Pokemon community, even in particular, is one of the greatest ones out there. You know, we wouldn't be continuing to do this, if that weren't the case. So with that, if you guys want to say anything, otherwise I'm going to jump into today's review, because it's a good one.
Well, just really, 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 really quick, you know, something that's become really, that, you know, people have become really cognizant of, myself included, is the need to elevate Black creators, Black voices, and stuff like that. And that is something that I know I in particular will do a better job about, especially, you know, because you know that you, it's very easy to say something like that, you know, like, oh yeah, I'm going to elevate people of color, but you know, like, oh well, you know, like there are lots of you know, Black Pokemon fans who do fantastic cosplay and fan art and
streams.
And streams mm-hmm. and are content creators, and that is something that I know I will be doing a better job to elevate using this platform and the other platforms that we have at our disposal. Mm-hmm. Black lives, of course, matter. And we all need to do our part to end systemic racism.
Yep. Absolutely. And I branching off that, I mean, I feel like the Pokemon Company has definitely done a great job in kind of bringing voices into their community. I mean, the main social media manager for the Pokemon Company in America is, you know, a very wonderful Black woman who's so strong. And whenever I've gotten the chance to talk with her, definitely the community is so wonderful. You know, the anime community, especially for Pokemon that I run into, I mean, anime is something that we've discussed, you know, on the anime side of, you know, comicbook.com that has a very close connection to communities of color, and the people who are creating content in that sphere are amazing. And they've gone on to create, you know, their own manga and their own anime here, you know, with Netflix or other communities. So Black lives matter in all sphere and all areas of discussion. And we're super excited to be able to, you know, reach out and elevate those platforms as they come to us.
For sure. All right. With that, let's get to, we'll go with our review from Bearded Grizzly. Nostalgia at its finest is the headline. I recently got back into collecting Pokemon cards, and there's nothing better than opening a fresh pack of cards and getting catapulted back into some dear childhood memories. While on the hunt for Pokemon cards, I was also looking for a podcast that would deal with something Pokemon. While a podcast has appeared, is above and beyond what I was looking for, the Pokemon Fact of the Week. After the Pokemon Fact of the Week, you should add a small section for continued Geodude hate. thank you for all your hard work and continuing to keep us informed. Much love, Bearded Grizzly.
Love that. Yep. All right, that's our new section. Yep, continued propaganda against Geodude.
What are you talking about? The entire you guys take every chance you get to.
I mean, that's true. Yes. We did manage to get some very solid golem digs this week.
I mean, we had entire episodes dedicated.
I mean, it is, you know, I really hope that, you know, one day our lasting legacy as a podcast will really be to solidify the many, many reasons why Geodude and its evolution suck. If we have accomplished that, then I will die happy.
Wow.
All right. That was very aggressive of you.
That's all the time we got for today.
Yeah.
And we will, if you, like I said, if you're new to this show, feel free to hit that subscribe button. Otherwise, you can find new episodes every Thursday wherever podcasts can be found. We're on every platform. So if you're thinking to yourself, are they there? Yeah, probably. If we're not, let us know. You can find me on Twitter at Jim Viscardi.
You can find me on Twitter at Megan Peters CB.
And I am at Seehofer CBus.
And until then, we'll catch you at the same time, same place next week, folks. Have a good one.